guys, welcome to The Things I Do For Love, a brief Game of Thrones card game podcast. Okay, folks, welcome to another episode of The Things I Do For Love. We're still in the experimental phase here as we figure out a little bit about just what exactly you can really fit and tackle in a 10-minute episode. But thankfully, I've got some great co-hosts willing to kind of step in and help us explore that. So this week, we've got with us a gentleman you may know as Tyrion. You may know as second place Seth. Although, you know what, folks? That just really doesn't apply anymore, because I'm proud to welcome our 2017 U.S. champion. So well done, Seth.
Thanks very much, Will. Thanks for inviting me on, and hopefully our inaugural, your inaugural experiments here go well.
I hope so. It's a broad, wide open realm here, much like deck construction, right? You know, it's just the Wild West. You can do whatever you want. There's no rules. There's no guidelines, right?
Well, I think that's how the rules of the game are structured, yes.
Okay, so diplomatic of you. I think some folks reading your semi-recent Facebook post would be surprised at how diplomatic you are in audio. But, you know, why don't we kind of expand that a little bit? But for folks that have forgotten or maybe missed that initial post, what's kind of the nutshell rundown of the huge discussion you started?
Sure. So my comment was, I was going on vacation and I came back and I went on the Thrones DB. I wanted to kind of catch up on what had gone on over the past couple of weeks. And there was a bunch of US tournaments, a couple of European tournaments, a bunch of UK tournaments that all, a lot of the champions had posted deck lists and top eight deck lists and things like that. And I looked in a row at like six or seven of these deck lists, and I was just struck by how across all of them, there were a lot of, I used the word amateur, but I didn't mean that in a derogatory way so much as to describe like a more casual approach to the game. The way the decks were constructed were, it wasn't what I would associate with bleeding edge competitive play. It was more like casual or experimental. And I listed some things that I thought associated with that, like playing 61 or 62 cards, having one of several different events. So one Nightmares, one Hand's Judgment, one whatever, one Tears. Just like, obviously, with more testing or more focus, you would think, oh, maybe I want two of these or two of those. Not in every case, but a lot of times. And just similar, you know, 1x of certain characters or certain cards, just things like that that said to me, this is more like a casual deck or a deck someone would play at a game night because of that. Whereas you think the night before a tournament, you go through and you change those things and try and tighten it up for your competitive play. And that was my post, was sort of my recognition or observation that was happening. And I wanted to see kind of what the community thought, why they thought people approach tournaments like that.
I mean, and I think that is an interesting topic to tackle. You know, different people had different reactions to the content of such, but I think there's a lot of interesting factors that can go into that. I mean, one that jumps out at me right off the top of my head is just because I've been poking around on things lately, and it seems like, you know, every weekend there's a large, for Thrones anyway, regional in, good grief, just the UK, let alone, you know, the rest of Europe as a whole and such. So, you know, part of me wonders if there's sort of a lessening of that competitive drive, you know, when folks go to additional events in rapid succession. They play one, you know, they get their top four or whatever, then they decide to be experimental the next week. Or maybe it just, you know, grinds them down to be honing and building and really working at that cutting edge for such a sustained period versus, you know, specifically a drive up to, say, a Gen Con event or something like that. So, you know, that's one of my first thoughts, just casual observation.
Well, I think on that Facebook thread, a lot of people took my post seriously, and they gave a lot of good reasons why they thought I would have that observation. And that's certainly one plausible reason. I think another is just maybe people don't take a regionalist seriously, and so they don't mind putting in the 61st card 1X tiers to see if it should be in their deck or not, to learn a little bit more by doing something more experimental. So there are a lot of good reasons that people posted. But what I found most fascinating and most annoying, and what I talked about in that post, is there is a kind of cultural celebration of purposeful flaws in a deck. Like, I've included this suboptimal card on purpose, or I've played 61 cards even though I know that 60 is better, and I've done it on purpose. And then people celebrating that after someone wins or is successful. And I think that's a really strange phenomenon in the community.
Well, you know, from the broad psychological sense, I sort of wonder if there's a connection there to the world and the flavor and the setting and the folks being fans of that, and all of these very interesting, very skilled characters who do have a flaw that is, well, in some ways celebrated, depending on the character, many of them, in fact. But partly I also wonder, you know, if the efficiency difference between, say, 60 and 61 is so abstract, you know, when you're looking at fractions of a percentage point in statistical difference, it's hard for the like practical side of most people's minds to really embrace that, especially in the small sample size. You know, you're playing what, five rounds in say the average Swiss tournament, plus if you do well and you go on to win it, you know, depending on the cut, another say three rounds, you know, eight games, and you're looking at a fraction of a percentage difference. I feel like that's hard to weigh the practicality of that versus the visceral feel good of including a card you like or you feel like you might need, you know?
You know, I definitely do understand that. I mean, I recognize it's not you've had very little impact on your capacity to win the tournament by making some of these decisions by going 1X of an event, or the other examples I gave, 61 cards, although that one got too much attention. I was using that to show, it was just an example of what I was talking about. I wasn't trying to get in a 61 card argument. But I think what was most, what's interesting coming out of that whole discussion is a lot of people were upset with me and said, I like the game. This is not magic. I like the game to be more casual. I like that people go to tournaments and don't try and play the best deck and don't just play 60 cards with multiples of everything. I like that people try and play what they think is fun or something for surprise or something they think is different. And I like that we celebrate that. And what kind of my response to that is, we can't as a community say that and then at the same time constantly complain that FFG doesn't care about competitive play and doesn't value competitive play, and the judge program, you know, it hasn't been stood up and doesn't get as much focus in the tournament software, et cetera, et cetera. Like, if you're embracing as a community the casual side of the game, you cannot, you're sending a mixed message to the company to then emphasize the competitive part of the game. I think that's kind of what my takeaway was, is we're sort of we're not of one mind as to what we really want.
Interesting. So you think FFG is actually watching close enough that, say, they're looking at Thrones DB and saying, oh, those look like, to borrow the phrase, scrub decks They don't.
I'm not saying the postings that are made affect any FFG decisions. No way. I don't think they do any kind of research like that. I just mean more our mood as a community. We have a thread where a lot of people are rallying around this idea of casual play. Now, I'm not talking about deck lists being posted, but what is the mood of the community that Danny, as a designer, and FFG OP, if they have their finger on the pulse when they talk to people at tournaments like Gen Con and Worlds, if they read on the Facebook group, you know, if they try and understand the mood of the community, are they going to get this sense that this is a casual game and people like to approach it as a casual game? And we don't, you know, as we design cards and invest in OP, we should put more money into the design of our playmats or which alt arts than having a judging program, because that's what people care about.
That actually does delve into some interesting territory. I would say, a lot of the push and pull in regards to OP does have a lot to do with the prizing more than the structure. So I think that's an interesting thought, and one I would love to see folks discuss more in the comments. But alas, we are out of time for this week. Unfortunately, it turns out those are the things we do for love.
That's perfect.